Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Let me affectionately welcome all of you for this serial, The Heart of the Holy Name. What we try to do in this broadcast is we try to go deeper into the chanting, to the stage, in the direction of full absorption. There is a very interesting passage in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, his great devotee, the following question. What should all living entities constantly remember? And Ramananda Roy replied, the chief object of remembrance are always the Lord's holy name, qualities, and pastimes. I was a little bit thinking about this in regards to today's subject, that is attaining maximum absorption. Why is it important that the mind gets absorbed in chanting? See, neuroscientists have found out that the mind's first and foremost occupation tends to be negative things. Or, if it's not always thinking about anxiety, worries, and such things, then these things have a big impact on us. And this is what they found out. Negative occurrences or events, discussions, thoughts, go immediately into the long-term memory, whereas positive events, discussions, thoughts are in the short-term memory. Let's make a little experiment. Go through a day, a typical day of yours, enter, there will be many events which you will see, but what do you remember most? Isn't it that we remember those things which were negatively charged more, because negative thoughts are more impactful than positive thoughts? They have a stronger effect on us than positive thoughts, and negative thoughts also linger longer in the consciousness than positive thoughts. The mind is tending to think about negative things much stronger than about positive things. There is a research paper out which says bad is stronger than good. In order now that that positive things are not just passing thoughts, but make it into the long-term memory, we need to dwell on them a little longer. We need to think about them a little bit more extended. And then, wow, they begin to influence us and become parts of our personality. And this is exactly why it is so important for us when we chant the holy name that we dwell on them, we absorb them, we soak in the holy names. Because if they are just chanted in a normal way, in a way, this will not stay. Therefore, you can see that people who have chanted for a long amount of time, maybe 10 years, 15 years, even 30 years, I have seen devotees who have chanted almost for 50 years, they have not been able to substantially change. And they are like ordinary people, often overcome by anxieties and worries because they have not yet learned the simple secret. What is what you absorb, what gets deep in you. That is what you remember. That is what you hold in your heart for a long time. Therefore, surface chanting, which doesn't reach that depth, will be one of the passing things which does not really change a lot. It's not that it is absolutely ineffectual or inconsequential, but it is not what it could be. My dear devotees, dear friends, dear people, the Harinam, let me first talk about what is the main symptom of someone who chants. It is that he develops the quality of ekagra, or one-pointedness. I became aware of this quality when I read the Vedanta Sutra many, many years ago. Recently, His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj has brought out a very mind stirring book, or a very thought-provoking book called Sankalpa Kaumudi, where he has quoted this one-pointedness, ekagra, or one-pointed attention, as the main quality of going deep. He has, let me be clearer, he has quoted the Vedanta Sutras or Brahma Sutras, which say about sadhana, yatraika grata tatra vishenayat, means the yogi should then sit firmly and practice yoga to purify the heart by controlling the mind, senses, and activities, and fixing the mind on one point. The Brahma Sutra says, where is single-pointed concentration? There you should go. In other words, in whatever place you can concentrate single-mindedly, in whatever time you can concentrate and be single-mindedly, in whatever direction of life, situation of life, you can be single-pointedly attentive, there you should practice your sadhana and worship Lord Hari. To say it differently, the Varaha Purana, which is quoted in the purport of this verse, says it like this: one should seek a place, a time, a situation, and a sensory environment where the mind becomes peaceful and cheerful. Other than that, there are no specific instructions regarding these factors. In other words, when you do sadhana, go for one-pointedness, go for single-minded attention. That's the only rule, because then your spiritual practice is effective. Then it can create a new mind. When you are absorbed in one-pointedness, then the original version of yourself, which is already there, waiting to be discovered, can be manifested. But unless you are one-pointed in your sadhana, or to say it differently, as long as you are distracted or not able to go deep, the mantra has not the desired effect. The material thoughts, and amongst them the negative material thoughts will be so strong that it will that they will remain to be most influential. They will have the greatest grip on you. They have the strongest hold on the consciousness. We want to break that when we chant. We want to break the old material-minded patterns of the mind. We want to stop the mind running towards material involvement and running towards birth, old age, disease and death. We actually want to create an absorbed mind and with it a new life. So, in the Harinam Chintamani, we find a very nice a road to absorption, a road which takes us deep in our practice. And I will take you on this road now in two ways. I will first speak about it, and then we will make a few exercises on it and go hopefully deep in that chanting. So first, when you sit down to chant, please turn your face towards Krishna. What I do is I always chant before either my personal deities, or I have a picture, or any other object. It could be also the written mantra, and then I turn consciously to them, to this. I tell myself, now is the time to be with Krishna. It's now the alone time which is filled with Krishna. I just read, all man's miseries come from this single thing, that he cannot be that he cannot be alone with himself in one room. Sartre says, someone who cannot be alone with himself is in bad company. you when you are alone and there is a bad company, you can't be with that person. You have to run out, otherwise it gets dangerous. So many people have a dangerous mind. They can't be alone with their mind. They are in bad company. So this needs to be stopped. Therefore, I am, when I chant, alone, but with Krishna, together with the most wonderful Krishna. And that makes is the reason why I'm relatively happy in this life. So it continues. Then, as one enunciates clearly the syllables of the holy name, he will also start to meditate on the holy name. So first, sit down, turn to Krishna, be with Krishna, alone time with Krishna, then talk very clearly, or sing when you do kirtan, very clearly the holy name. Enunciate, pronounce the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The third station on this road to absorption is bring your mind, your restless mind, to the sound vibration of the holy name. As we have learned in earlier parts of the heart of the holy name, bring the holy name into your heart, keep it there, hold it there, let it stay there a little longer. No material thoughts, just the holy name. And then, if you can do this, you should meditate on Krishna's handsome form. The way you can do it is you can bring the form in the mind, but if you feel that is still a little difficult for you, you can look at a beautiful picture of Krishna or on the deity. And in this way, you are mindful of Krishna as your hands are counting the beads of the holy name. You see with your eyes Krishna. You hold his sound vibration and form in your mind, and in this way slowly become more and more absorbed. You exit the old mind, the mind which is so often holding negative impressions, pain and worries, anxieties and so on. From there you can go into more advanced levels of chanting the holy name. One is that you think about his qualities. Krishna is so kind. Krishna is so compassionate. It is said in our scriptures that the one quality which devotees in this world think about most often, this one quality of Krishna, is his compassion, his caring nature, his accepting nature. That's why one of the meanings of the holy name is please accept me. No? It is the devotee is sure of Krishna's vatsalatva. It means his parental-like affection for the chanter. This is a quality, and if you go deeper, you think about the pastimes of Krishna. What many sadhakas do is they read the pastimes of Krishna, and then while they chant, they remember whatever they have read. This is how it starts. And this is the method which Bhaktivinoda Thakur advocates in his Bhajan Rahasya. And this is also what Srila Prabhupada hinted at when he said, as soon as you chant the holy name, his qualities, Krishna's qualities, and also pastimes come up. So you can help your memory. You can help your remembrance by reading pastimes of Lord Krishna and then recollecting them and going over them again with your mind. The idea is full absorption, but it all starts, let me just see here, I have the Harinam Chintamani on my lap. If we have Haridas Thakur gave an analogy for this unfolding of the holy name. He gave the analogy of the flower which unfolds more and more. First, you just have the name flower, then you may pick a flower or you may obtain a flower, and usually this is in the budding state. Then, as you pour water on the flower, it unfolds a little bit and you can smell the flower, and then it unfolds more and you see all the colors of the flowers. So this chanting of the holy name is compared to the unfolding of a flower, and it happens, this unfolding, by first focusing on the name alone, sound vibration, keeping it in the heart, and from there the holy name will unfold more and more of his form. You will end off his qualities. And you can help this unfolding by looking at the form as you chant, looking at the deities, by hearing about Krishna's qualities and his pastimes. That will help. That will be like water, so that the flower of the holy name unfolds. Sometimes monks have been criticized. You always talk about level number 32. Can't you just go from where we are at the present moment and take us there? This is what we exactly will do on the in this Heart of the Holy Name session. We were talking about the unfolding of the Holy Name, another word, the full absorption into the Holy Name. When we absorb ourselves, there are three items which we must, which we have, three endowments, three aspects of our life. First of all, the body, then the mind and the heart. Now, the body is matter, and it is sometimes quite uninterested in things of the spirit. It is when you chant, or you want to chant, you feel some laziness. Oh, do we really have to do this now? It is called in Sanskrit jada, which means coldness or dumbness or being apathetic. This is the obstacle in the body. The mind has a quality of distractedness. In Sanskrit, vikshepya, vikshepa. Kship, the syllable which is the root of this word, means to throw, to scatter, to disperse. Our mind likes to throw away our concentration. It likes to scatter our concentration. It likes to disperse our thoughts, so that we come, that we are utterly distracted when we chant. This is an obstacle. We need to engage our heart, but the heart also has an obstacle, indifference. In Sanskrit, it is udasina. Udasini means sitting apart. There is a chanting going on. I sit somewhere else. I'm not really there. These are the three obstacles on the path of absorption. These are the three obstacles which are interwoven into your body, mind, and heart. And these three obstacles, that is laziness, obstacle which refers to the body, distractedness, an obstacle which refers to the mind, and indifference, and the obstacle which refers to the heart, need to be overcome. I wish to do now something which helps you to overcome these obstacles. I want to request you to take up your bead bag, if you have one. If you do not have one ready with you, then no problem. You can also chant with me like this. So, first of all, let's align our body, and so that we overcome the physical or bodily obstacles. I wish you to sit very straight. And as we have heard, I request you to enunciate the holy name or pronounce it very clearly and easily. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the first step, what we do is we sit in a erect and straight way that will send a signal so that the laziness, or better, coldness or dullness of the body leaves us. Then we will enunciate or pronounce the mantra with our tongue, and then hear the mantra with our ears. In this way, we have posture, pronunciation, and hearing. These are physical things that help us to overcome jada, or laziness, or coldness to the practice. Again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now we go one step deeper. That is, we are now bringing our mind, which tends to be often distracted, vikshepya, scattered all over the place, to the mantra. You can almost think what we do now is like coming closer to the target. First there is this one circle, big circle, that is the physical. Then within it is a smaller circle, that is the mental, the mind. But our goal is to reach the target inside, huh? With an arrow-like attention. That's when we have aligned our heart and come into total absorption, body, mind and heart. That is our purpose. Stay with me. We will now go from the physical level to the mental level, the second circle. Focus on the sound vibration. The easiest way to focus is to be absolutely present. Present in the now. Now is the sound vibration of the holy name going on. Why be somewhere else, in the past, in the future, or scattered to another thought? Just bring your multitude of thoughts to the now. Now is the chanting. Okay, very soon we start. 1, 2, 3. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna advises us, from wherever the mind wanders due to his restless nature, from there one should certainly bring it back to the self. Ekagrata, one-pointedness. Please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we will go a bit deeper now. Please remember our image of the target. There's an outer ring which is comprised out of physical or bodily involvement. Then there's an inner ring which is comprised of mental involvement, and then there is the core, the black core, that is where our heart is. To bring our heart to the chanting, it helps to remember that Krishna is not different from his holy name. In other words, when you chant, you are in divine presence. You are in the presence of Krishna. He's really there. Someone asked me from India on the computer the other day, how can I focus as I chant, because I can't feel the Lord. He seems to be silent. He seems to not notice. And I said, well, He is there in the form of the Holy Name, standing right next to you and seeing how absorbed you are. If you're very absorbed, He reveals Himself, like He states in the Gita. In the degree someone surrenders unto me, I reward and reveal myself to such a person. So when your heart comes through this indifference, where you sit apart when you chant, but the heart is really not there, it is somewhere else, then the Lord will not pay so much attention. It will be lip service which you do. But if you bring the heart which has wandered off, if you bring it right into the practice of chanting, then Krishna reveals Himself. Will you give your private and innermost thought and being to a person who's not really sure if he should be with you or not, who sits apart? How can you talk with someone who sits apart? How can you interact with someone who sits apart? How will Krishna relate to you if He sees that you sit apart, that your heart is not there? So, an easy way is to remember Krishna's there. He is standing by your side and He wants to see how well your heart is there. And then He will reveal Himself. Another way is to enter into the spirit of the chanting. The chanting is a prayer. Please, my Lord, I have been absent for so long and for so many long years in this material world. Kindly accept me now. Don't sit apart. Sit close. Bring your heart there. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, with our body, pronounce the mantra very nicely. With our minds, we meditate about Krishna, or at least we absorb ourselves in the sound vibration. And with our heart, we don't sit indifferently on the site. We are involved. We are heartfeltly involved, or involved with our heart. Please accept me. I know you are standing just next to me. You are hearing me. Please accept me. Please reveal yourself again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This will now go into Kirtan, where we glorify the Lord. In the holy name's full mercy, so the chanter shines forth. The Lord's pleasure potency, Hladini Shakti, combined with the essence of His Samvit Shakti, this is wisdom or knowledge Shakti, in the form of Bhakti, descends. Krishna gives His mercy, the divine energy descends, making the holy name blossom fully. Then this supreme goddess of bhakti reveals all the ingredients needed to experience one's relationship with Krishna fully. Krishna sees when we try to absorb ourselves, our effort, and He reveals Himself by first sending the rays of His Swarup Shakti, His internal energy upon us, so that our hearts blossom like the flowers. Then completely purified, the transcendental jiva attains his spiritual identity and enters into divine rasa or relationship. This is wonderful indeed. It's from Harinam Chintamani, 15th chapter. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sing now, every one of us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please let us try this now. Our body is fully aligned. Sit straight. And when we will sing, we will pronounce the mantra properly. Then we go down further to the road of absorption. We go to the second circle, if you wish to say it like this. That is, we bring our mind there, fully in the presence, in the now. Nothing else is important now, only the chanting, our chanting. And finally, we travel down a little bit more the road of absorption. That is, we will totally bring our heart there, our heart which so often sits aside, uninvolved, No. We bring it and we say, this one relationship matters to me. This relationship to Krishna. And I express it now by singing. Please accept me. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Oh Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, I go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Oh Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ya Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, I go, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Oh Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Oh Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, everybody please, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
What you can do after kirtan is let the experience stay a little bit longer to be with the experience of closeness a little bit more so that it can sink in and write a new software in your mind, or in our tradition create a new samskara, a new very deep impression that will again and again call you back. Come, 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 go to this experience, it will say. I thank you very much. I will give now a few announcements. I should also say that after the announcement we take questions. Already two questions are there. I believe that you can now type in any questions which you have. But first let me say about the announcements. I'm so absolutely happy to be able to announce something that I wanted to do since 10 years. I wanted to create a forum in which we could go to the essential teachings of the Bhagavatam and then think about how we can apply them in our lives, how we can live and breathe Bhagavatam. And finally, it came together last week, really. It's a podcast which will be broadcasted each Sunday morning. It will be there for you to listen for the whole Sunday and also afterwards. It's a podcast on the essential teachings of the Bhagavatam. We take just one verse and then go through different commentaries by various acharyas. First and foremost, the purpose of Srila Prabhupada into the depths for practical application. The podcast is called Above the Clouds. It comes from the from Prabhupada's statements that Krishna consciousness is a state above the clouds of material existence or Maya. So tomorrow, 24th of January, 7 a.m. Central European Time, this new podcast, Above the Clouds, starts. It's a pre-recorded podcast and can be found in the Deepening Bhakti with Sachinandan Swami. Deepening Bhakti Facebook group. You know, there are various groups, and one is called Deepening Bhakti. Please find the link in the comments. Then I want to give an announcement that is very close to my heart. On the 29th to the 31st of January, there will be the Radish Mellows, this time online. It's an online festival. To find more about this, please visit radadeshmellows.com. You will find the exact link also in the comment section. Now, I also want to point you to various videos from a variety of seminars which you can find on my YouTube channel. There is the Living Name, very nice, Kirtan Experience, Bhakti Essentials, Wisdom Videos. I say very nice. I mean, you might say, think this is, how can anyone say about what they do that is very nice? I'm just collecting the essential teachings. They are not mine, and presenting them for you. So yes, it's not my thing which is very nice. It's what the tradition has given to us. So the link for this YouTube is also in the comments. And finally, I want to invite you to visit my Facebook page for various inspirational content, videos, announcements, etc. facebook.com/sachinandan.swami. You also find that in the comment. Fine. Now we will dive right into the questions and to this session. First question. Hare Krishna Maharaj, does Krishna hear our chanting since we are not chanting with pure love? Krishna definitely hears each single person's chanting, irregardless of the quality. The Brahman for this is found in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, where Ajamil's story is told. Ajamil had chanted on his deathbed in utmost desperation the name Narayan. In his mind was not pure love for the Lord. In his mind was a great desperation, and he called like this for his son who had the name Narayan, the same name. Now the Lord, whose name is Narayan, heard this, and he thought, this is there in one of the verses, since this person has chanted my name, he is mine, he belongs to my people, and therefore I must save him. And he sent immediately his servants, the Vishnu Dutas, who saved really the dying man from the Yama Dutas, the messengers of death. And thus Ajamil was given a second chance to improve his spiritual life. He went to Haridwar, he chanted the name more purely and worshipped the deities, and at the end of his life he again saw the same Vishnu Dutas, but this time they had brought a Vimana, an airship, a transcendental airship with them to take him back home, back to Godhead. So the Lord will hear all types of chanters. Even there is a verse, if it is chanted inattentively, with disregard, out of joke, or when it's chanted in a situation that person stumbles and he says, Krishna, as he falls, the Lord does hear it. But if you wish to come to Krishna, as the Krishna Bhaktas do, if you want to enter Goloka Vrindavan, the eternal pastime place of the Lord of Love, Krishna, then you will need to learn to chant with absorption and affection. And I think that this state, this rare state, will definitely come to you as you keep on trying. There's so much assistance, so much help, invisible help for someone who just has the intention, the sincere desire to chant properly. There are many more people listening to the chanting than just you. Blessings of the Acharyas are there. Blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva is there. Just try to enter the heart of the holy name and you will see a lot of reciprocation from Krishna and his dear devotees. Next question. Thank you for your very engaging class, Maharaj. My question. I have made the experience that if I don't finish my chanting before 9 a.m., I practically do not manage to do it later in the day. I'm quite busy and go late to bed. Thus, waking up early enough is often a challenge as well. I tried squeezing my rounds in between various to-dos, like chanting one round here, one round there, then maybe two rounds in the car while driving, etc. But this also is not so inspiring because I cannot focus my mind properly on Krishna. I've heard from devotees that it is better to chant anyhow than to not chant. What would be your advice for someone like me, Maharaj? Thank you. A very, very relevant question to many of us. See, there is, to answer this question, what to do when we cannot finish our rounds before 9 o'clock, and then we have to go out and the day just takes over, what to do and how to bring quality rounds there. I would like to suggest a too tired approach. Now I have to ask Gokrishna, who's with me, for the right pronunciation. Too tired, not tired. Tired means sleepy. Too tired approach, you know, parallel approach, like two roads which are going parallel. The first is, yes, when you are initiated and you have given a vow to chant 16 rounds minimum, then somehow try to chant good rounds in the morning as good as possible, and then try and then bring the rounds or squeeze the rounds in between somehow or other, because even by chanting somehow or other, that is not with the best quality, you show to the holy name that you are not indifferent to his mercy. You show that you really care. So that's important. That's necessary also. But this is the one road. So somehow or other I chant my rounds. But I want to now go to a revolutionary other road. If you really try to chant those rounds, which you can chant before 9 a.m., where things are relatively quiet in your life, if you really can focus on making them the best rounds, you will see something amazing happening. What you will see is that the holy name, who is Krishna, will make arrangements that you somehow get more time. There is no human reason to explain this, only transcendental reason. Krishna hears, this devotee wants to chant good rounds, and he makes an effort in this time when he is free from disturbance. Like the Varaha Purana said, you know, we should find a place and a time where the mind is cheerful and is cooperative. Then this takes over. I would like to give you a traditional example, which I believe is found in the Garuda Purana. I'm pretty sure, but not 100% sure, but it is in one of these scriptures. There it says that the holy name is like a spark which falls into straw and then gradually spreads and increases and becomes a strong flame. So when you chant the holy name, just very focused for whatever time you have, let us say the time before 9 a.m., then you will see how from the spark comes a flame. And this flame will burn away all obstacles and all karmic reactions, it says. Yes, all bad karma, which may be the reason for such a hectic life which you have. It may be due to karma. And then you will have more time for chanting. Now, I experienced this in my life. I have a very, very busy life, and people constantly warn me, don't do so much, don't. But what to do when you are enthusiastic? You want to express it. But I have made it my focus to chant my rounds as focused as I can. And I see somehow the holy name, how do we say in English? It elbows all the unessential things away so that I have more time for chanting. So, two-tiered approach, parallel approach. One is to somehow finish your rounds, but the other is make a conscious effort to chant those rounds which you can chant during a quiet time, the best rounds possible. Thank you. So, next question, I will have to go a little bit faster here to get everything. Maharaj, I have a question. How to return to such an experience of connected chanting again and again? Although we cry to Krishna for help, when we chant in Sangha like this, but after some days we fall away from absorbed japa. How to maintain good japa? I'm happy, very happy that you made an immersive experience. And that experience is already something which is really good for you. It will help you very much, because you will want to return to this experience. Good. This is one answer. But I will give you now another answer, which requires you to be very attentive and thoughtful at the same time. The answer is, you have to know on what level your japa is now. Then you have to know the next level you want to come to. And then you have to make something like a sankalpa, that is a conscious intention or determination to go to this next step. I would like to read all of you something about this from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because this is really an area of spiritual life where we usually don't hear so much about the stepwise elevation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, conditioned souls are eligible to attain a very exalted position from a very low position. Now, between these two positions, a very low, or let us say not such a high position, and a very elevated position, there are various steps. And many other positions, each being a gradual step and a distinct level of advancement. Moreover, each and every gradual step has different prescriptions and prohibitions. Whenever a living entity steps to one level and stays there, he is obliged to follow the prescriptions of that step, following which he becomes eligible to attain the next step. If one is unable to attain the next step, he falls back to a lower step, which is called degradation. By contrast, attaining a higher step is called advancement. He says this, or writes this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I want to find this for you, in Sri Bhaktyalokya, in his commentary on Niyamagraha, page 32. It's something we all should think about. How? Now, where am I now? And what is the next step? And what do I need to do to go there? So, I would recommend you, because it's a little obvious where you are. You're a very nice devotee who responds well to inspiration from an outside environment like this seminar. You should see and study really what would be helpful for you to move on. Where are you and what would be helpful? And you will discover maybe the location is not good. It's not a disturbance-free atmosphere where you chant. Maybe the time is not good. Maybe there are too many distractions where you chant. So gradually, by thinking and analyzing like this, you can eliminate the bad things and take on the better things. You may think, oh, could you please be a little bit more concrete? If you wish to have further guidance, there is a book out. It's called The Living Name, A Guide to Chanting with Absorption. There you will find many, many advices how to move on. You can type this in, The Living Name, and it will appear on your computer, and then you can order it if you have not yet had the chance to have it. So the reason why we feel a sudden burst of energy when we are in good association and then go down again to our old level when we are not in good association is that we do not know really where are we and what needs to be done next to move to the next step? What adjustments do I need to do in my life, in my chanting, in my orientation, and so on? Thank you very much. I will now address the last question. It seems like the last question, looking at the time. How do we chant with Trinadapi? How do we develop those qualities of humility and tolerance? This question is sometimes like, how do I become better than I am at the moment? How do I break the habit of being me? Yes, what a wonderful question, in a way. Humility, that one key which will change everything for you, is, where do we find this? This is the question. There are two answers to this question. Let me first give you the answer which you have heard many times, but then let me give you this second answer. All human qualities are found in the hearts of those who possess them. So humility is one of these qualities which can be found in the hearts of serious Vaishnavas with whom we have association. This is a very well-known answer to the question. I would like to now give another aspect. Humility is something that appears in the human heart under certain circumstances. It's humility appears automatically, says Sanatana Goswami, when you see that you have not utilized your chances wisely and you have in a way ruined chances. Humility appears when you see you have also committed offenses. This can easily help us, this hint. We can think about how Krishna is so kind to us, how many opportunities he has given to us. And we can ask ourselves the question, have I really, really made full use of it? We can also look at our life and see that sometimes we might have missed a chance. We might have, so to say, ruined a chance. And even in some cases, we might have committed an aparad, an offense. And this brings feelings of regret and remorse. And from there, it is only a millimeter before you are in the realm of humility. Very often, these devotional qualities like humility and forbearance, or the quality to be able to forgive, are covered over by our thick engagement in the material atmosphere. Very often they are covered over, and we need to unearth these qualities. We can unearth them whenever we are actually able to look from a different perspective than an ordinary or daily perspective. We can see, oh, I'm a spirit soul actually, and I have received so many opportunities, and I have not been able really to utilize all these opportunities to my fullest capacity. And that can make us serious, so that we sit down in our chanting in a humble way. I would like to tell you something personal at the end. Today was a very active day for myself. I got up and chanted, but then I wanted to read Bhagavatam, and I got carried into the Bhagavatam. That all of a sudden I noticed, I don't have actually the time now. And then I produced something which I'm very happy about, the first podcast on Above the Clouds. That took some time because we had to set up and finalize the concepts. It's really engaging. Then I had to make various phone calls. I had to make various decisions in my life, so that now I'm in a situation where I have not yet chanted all the number of rounds which I chant every day. And I want to chant these number of rounds. What I will do after this broadcast, I will first think that I'm an eternal soul, I'm part and parcel of Krishna. I have given a wonderful opportunity to now be in the presence of the Lord. And I know when I chant from that frame of mind, I will have qualities like humility and determination, and I will be very eager to apply what I need to do to come from my level to whatever is the next level. My dear audience, I would like to spend more time with you, but our time for this time is up. We are sorry that we have changed in the last minute date. There were practical reasons why we had to, but usually our Heart of the Holy Name is at the last Saturday of the month. Please watch for further announcements, and I already have a very, very fascinating subject for our next installment. I wish you all the best, good chanting, and the mercy of Krishna. Hari Bol.